ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। We are reading from the first chapter, observing the armies. We start text 28 to 30. Can repeat together 28. Arjuna uvacha.
Arjuna uvacha.
Trishtvenam svachanam Krishna.
Trishtvenam svachanam Krishna.
Yayutsam samupasthitam.
Yayutsam samupasthitam.
Siddhanti mama gatrani.
Siddhanti mama gatrani.
Mukham sa parishushyati.
Mukham sa parishushyati.
I read the translation and the purport. Arjuna said, "My dear Krishna, seeing my friends and relatives present before me in such a fighting spirit, I feel the limbs of my body quivering and my mouth drying up." Purport. Any man who has genuine devotion to the Lord has all the good qualities which are found in godly persons or in the demigods, whereas the non-devotee, however advanced he may be in material qualifications, by education and culture, lacks in godly qualities. As such, Arjuna, just after seeing his kinsmen, friends and relatives on the battlefield, was at once overwhelmed by compassion for them, who had so decided to fight amongst themselves. As far as his soldiers were concerned, he was sympathetic from the beginning. But he felt compassion even for the soldiers of the opposite party, foreseeing their imminent death. And while he was so thinking, the limbs of his body began to quiver, and his mouth became dry. He was more or less astonished to see their fighting spirit. Practically, the whole community, all blood relatives of Arjuna, who had come to fight with him. This overwhelmed a kind devotee like Arjuna, although it is not mentioned here. Still, one can easily imagine that not only were Arjuna's bodily limbs quivering and his mouth drying up, he was also crying out of compassion. Such symptoms were not due to weakness, but to his soft-heartedness, a characteristic of a pure devotee. It is said, therefore, Yasyasti Bhaktir Bhagavata Kinshana Sarver Knastatra Samasate Sura Harav Bhaktaska Kuta Matkuna Mano Ratinat Siddhavato Bhai. One who has unflinching devotion for the personality of Godhead has all the good qualities of the demigods. But one who is not a devotee of the Lord has only material qualifications that are of little value. This is because he is hovering on a mental plane and is certain to be attracted by the glaring of material energy. This is from Srimad Bhagavatam 5.18.12. I will also read the next text, because there we will see a contrast which will be discussed, especially in the purport. Vipatusa sarirene romaharsa sajayate kandivam shamate hastat fakseva paridayate. My whole body is trembling, my hair is standing on end, my bow gandiva is slipping from my hand, my skin is burning. There are two kinds of trembling of the body and two kinds of standing of the hair on end. Such phenomena occur either in great spiritual ecstasy or out of great fear under material conditions. There is no fear in transcendental realization. Arjuna's symptoms in this situation are out of material fear, namely loss of life. This is evident from other symptoms also. He became so impatient that his famous bow, Gandiva, was slipping from his hands. And because his heart was burning within him, he was feeling a burning sensation of the skin. All these are due to the material conception of life. So, in a we see a contrast in text 28. See, there Srila Prabhupada says that such symptoms in Arjuna were due to weakness, but to his soft-heartedness, a characteristic of a pure devotee of the Lord. He's a pure devotee, so he's feeling compassion. So in the next verse, Srila Prabhupada writes, Arjuna's symptoms in his situation are out of material fear, namely loss of life. So this seems contradictory. So the point is, how can we reconcile such apparent contradiction? And at one side, he says, yes, his compassion is due to his being a pure devotee. And then in the next verse, Srila Prabhupada says, his compassion is a symptom of material fear. It's to understand this, we must go back to understand Arjuna's position, which is different than our position. So who is Arjuna? Arjuna is traveling with Krishna from universe to universe as his eternal associate. And what are they doing in every universe? Krishna speaks Bhagavad Gita. And Arjuna, in a dialogue with Arjuna. The situation may be a little different here and there, but the basic idea is the same. So he's an eternal associate, an eternal liberated soul. But here, he's a pure devotee. So why does he then come to that point of showing symptoms out of material fear? Because the situation is that Krishna is Rishikesh. He controls the senses of Arjuna and of every living entity. But is influencing Arjuna through the internal potency, his spiritual potency, not through his illusory potency. And by that, he is causing in the mind of Krishna through this yoga maya, not mahamaya, mahamaya is the material energy. Yoga maya is causing him feelings and coming up in his mind, and is conducting the whole situation, Krishna, so that Arjuna would ask the right questions so that he can speak Bhagavad Gita. But that's under the influence of yoga maya. He's a pure devotee, because deep in his heart he feels that compassion, The symptom of a pure devotee, he wants to give Krishna consciousness to everyone, so is that he has a deep feeling of compassion for all living entities. He does not want violence and so on. He does not want suffering. That he has that deep feeling. But a pure devotee is never influenced by the material energy. Arjun is influenced by the spiritual energy, not like us, yoga maya. So, and therefore he's acting in very strange ways here. That was such a contradiction you cannot find in a condition. So because in some of the purports, Srila Prabhupada says Arjun is 1,000 more qualified than all of us. Yeah, you are there on a battlefield, and there are more than 500 million soldiers who are going to give their life, kshatriyas. That's quite a population. And the fight is going to begin. And these fights are very, very heavy. You don't know if you will survive that day. That, and there you have to start the fight. And then Arjuna and Krishna, they are going to have a philosophical discussion. Can you imagine? For fighting, you need all your passion. But Arjuna is able, you will see further in the Bhagavad Gita, to redraw him completely from the battlefield and ask questions. He asked different questions in the 8th chapter and in the 2nd. He asked questions and they have a philosophical discussion. That who can do that? Yeah, if you would be there, yeah, we would be full of passion. And that's happening by spiritual power. He can redraw himself inside and concentrate on the dialogue with Krishna. That it's an extraordinary power. That because that's what Krishna also says somewhere in, I don't remember which chapter, that he's calling Arjun Mahabaho, strong armed. Mahabaho, but he says, if you really want to be an hero, then you control your mind. That's the real hero, the one who can control his mind. That it's not external prowess and the force. That it's a one who can control his mind, he's an hero. That's not an easy thing to control the mind. That's explained also to the Bhagavatam. That concept which was explained on last Sunday, that we are experiencing the world as an interaction between the senses and the sense objects. And we experience that in the mind. We have a certain vision through the eyes, but that's reflected, we see that through our mind, all these things. The experience are in the subtle body, and we have a certain perception of the world by that. But is that reality? It's only the perception of our senses. That's what we are allowed to perceive through our situation, through our body, through our subtle gross body. We are within these limitations. And that, but what's reality? Reality is that we are the consciousness in this body. That's, and we infuse these bodies with consciousness. That we are the life of the, in this body. We are not alive because of the body. We give life to the body. It's a whole different concept. That if we leave the body becomes useless. It's a whole disturbance at the moment of death. That this subtle body is preparing to leave the gross body. But let's hear how Purujan Prabhu and Purnachana Maharaj, how they explain it. This is Purnachana Maharaj. Now Arjun starts to give his reason for not fighting the war, indicated in text 27, and now spoken directly in text 28 is his first reason. And this is compassion for his relatives. So that's the first reason. We will see him giving five reasons. Now these five reasons, there are four reasons in the first chapter and another reason in the beginning of the second chapter. So we will see him giving five reasons. And then Krishna will systematically counter all these reasons one after another in his preaching in chapters 2 and 3 and throughout the whole book. You can see directly in the next chapters. Prabhupada has commented that such symptoms in Arjun were not due to weakness but due to his soft-heartedness, a characteristic of a pure devotee of the Lord. He's a pure devotee, so he's feeling compassion. But then text 29. Now Prabhupada comments, Arjuna's symptoms in his situation are out of material fear, namely loss of life. It seems slightly contradictory. How can we reconcile this seeming contradiction? Are the symptoms out of material fear or out of compassion? In one commentary, Srila Prabhupada writes that it is not due to weakness but soft-heartedness. And in the next commentary, he writes, they are due to weakness, out of fear. How can we reconcile these two opposing points? Deep in his heart, Arjuna is a pure devotee and feels compassion for all living entities, but now externally, he is now enveloped by Maya and is speaking in very strange ways. So that's the yoga Maya that made him make him act like this. And he's going to act in an even stranger way. So this yoga Maya is forcing him to behave in a way which is something different. In his heart he is soft-hearted and he's a pure devotee, but his behavior is being filtered through the yoga maya. So actually the role he's playing is acting out of fear, but internally he's a pure devotee feeling compassion. So his compassion is being filtered through the yoga maya screen and is coming out as material fear. I'm going to read that again because that's the essence. That's nicely explained. So his compassion is being filtered through the yoga maya screen and is coming out of as material fear, but actually it is not so. So there is these two things. Now in the next verse, a second reason is given, that is is being given, and that is of enjoyment, which is perhaps as not elevated or appreciate reason, still it is one of his reasons. We'll read text 30 now. Nasasaknam avastatam pramativa samemana nirmitani sapasyami viparitani keshava. I am now able to stand here any longer. I am forgetting myself, my mind is reeling. I see only cause of of misfortune, O Arjuna. I see only cause of misfortune, O Krishna, killer of the Kesi demon. Due to his impatience, Arjuna was unable to stay on the battlefield, and he was forgetting himself on account of the weakness of his mind. Excessive attachment for material things puts a man in such a bewildering condition of existence. Bhayam tviti abhinaveshtasya, from the Bhagavatam 11.237. Such fearlessness and loss of mental equilibrium take place in persons who are too affected by material conditions. Arjuna envisioned only painful reverses in the battlefield. He would not be happy even by gaining victory of the foe. The words nimitani, viparitani are significant. When a man sees only frustration in his expectation, he thinks, why am I here? Everyone is interested in himself and his own welfare. No one is interested in the Supreme Self. Arjuna is showing ignorance of his real self-interest by Krishna's will. One's real interest lies in Vishnu or Krishna. Conditioned soul forgets this and therefore suffers material pains. Arjuna thought that his victory in the battlefield would only be the cause of lamentation for him. So we have here Arjuna. This is his family members, and he thinks, yes, I want to enjoy my kingdom. So if I win, I will be able to enjoy the kingdom. So he wants enjoyment. But he sees there will nothing good come from this battle, because I will just get the opposite. If I die, then I lose everything. And if I win, then I have the kingdom, but all with those whom I want to enjoy it with, they are gone. So I will have no enjoyment. So whatever, it will, yeah, it will be very negative. I will get not the enjoyment. So interesting is Arjuna says, yeah, if I lose, I lose, and when I win, I lose also. And Krishna will reverse that. He will say, no, if you die on the battlefield, you win, you go to the heavenly planets. And when you win the battle, you enjoy a kingdom, you win also. So he's turning it in a win-win situation. And Arjuna says, in a lose-lose situation. But this is one of the reasons, enjoyment, because that's why people come to this world, enjoyment, so-called enjoyment of the body. Because it's also a big part of the Karma Kanda section of the Vedas, the philosophy of enjoyment. It explains how to enjoy religiously and enjoy more life after life. But it's all birth, death, old age and disease. The result is always temporary, it's not worthwhile. But it's part of the philosophy. It's also discussed here in Bhagavad Gita. But one who wants pure devotion and liberation from this world, he should not be interested in that. Not even slightest desire to want this. One must give that completely up. Otherwise one takes birth again. Even a slight desire, one takes birth again. That's therefore pure devotion and service. It's not easy attainable in that sense. In the 7th chapter, you will read that Srila Prabhupada writes in the purports, many people think this bhakti yoga is a very easy process, just chanting. But in fact, it's a very difficult process, he writes there. It's very difficult. Because to follow all the rules and regulations of bhakti yoga, to come to that purity, it's very difficult. And that's true. It's not an easy thing. Let's see about this enjoyment, what Pranachanda Maharaj writes. I see only causes of misfortune, which is viparitani, means the opposite to enjoying. Causes of misfortune. He sees that in spite of winning and getting a kingdom that will bring not any happiness, but rather will be the cause of distress. This is the opposite he desires. He wants the enjoyment. The usual cause of fighting is to win victory and happiness and fame. But he says that those causes I do not see, but rather viparitani, the opposite thing. Again, Srila Prabhupada mentioned about the external feature of Arjuna's behavior. Due to his impatience, Arjuna was unable to stay on the battlefield, and he was forgetting himself on account of this weakness of his mind. Excessive attachment for material things puts a man in such a bewildered condition of existence. Such fearfulness and loss of mental equilibrium takes place in persons who are too affected by material conditions. That's important to understand. But our situation of our mind. Arjuna only envisioned painful reversals in the battlefield. He would not be happy even by gaining victory of the foe. The words nimittani viparitani are significant. When a man sees only frustration in his expectations, then he thinks, why am I here? Everyone is interested in himself and his own welfare. No one is interested in the Supreme Self. Arjuna is showing ignorance of his real self-interest by Krishna's will. One's real self-interest lies in Vishnu or Krishna. The conditioned soul forgets this and therefore suffers material pains. Arjuna thought that his victory in the battle would only be the cause of lamentation for him. So instead of enjoying, he will lament. This is the first point of enjoyment. And he will continue this reason in a few more verses. Arjuna says, I do not desire that. I do not want that. It will give me the opposite of what I want, so why should I do it? It's very interesting reasoning. Of course, that's focused on enjoyment, but enjoyment itself comes, it's temporary, it comes to an end. So what's the use of the whole thing? So sometimes people come in a depression because They think, yes, but what's the use of all the things? Yeah. I'm working to maintain the body and then I have to die, so what's the use to go to all that thing? That it's some sense of reality which comes, which makes them think in that way. That's very troublesome, because they are attached to their bodies. That makes it very troublesome. But to come out of that, there is no way to come out of that unless one understands who we are. And that this is Maya's trap to keep us in that condition, that and to be attached to the body and to this so-called temporary life. There is no temporary life. Our life is eternal. We just move from one body to another. But everyone lives in this illusion. That, yeah, time of death, you die and everything is finished. Nothing is finished. Krishna says you must be responsible. You are going to get your reactions. Nothing is finished. That everything continues. But as long as we are thinking I'm living for the enjoyment of this body, yeah, then there is this fear, because wanting that enjoyment is an insanity, because you want to give enjoyment to a body, but you are not this body. Why should you do that? It just does not make sense. But it's our deep-rooted identification. Srila Prabhupada, in the beginning in America, it happened during a whole month. Every time Srila Prabhupada was lecturing on one verse of Bhagavad Gita. Dinasmin chatadi kamram javnam chara tatadi antara praptir tira na tatras namuchyati. That's where Krishna explains to Arjuna, your body is changing from youth to boyhood, from childhood to boyhood, youth, middle age, and then you have to leave it. And then Srila Prabhupada went from one part of America to the other part, and the devotees were phoning from New York, and they were asking what was Srila Prabhupada speaking about, and there was no internet at that time. And they said, yes, he was speaking on the Inos Minjati Gamram Javnamsha, but we have to hear that day after day until we understand that we are not these bodies. We have to come to realize that. That's the ABC of spiritual life. As long as we continue to be attached to this body and this conception in the mind, therefore I said that what our conception in the mind is the interaction between the senses and the sense objects. Krishna says in 5, 8, 9, yeah, he explained that very clearly. That's what we are perceiving, and we are identifying with this. But this is not our real existence. This is the existence of this body which we are observing, and everything is done by material nature. I mean, self-realization is a very serious thing. And of course, sometimes we speak about, Bhagavad Gita is the religion of the Hindus. But there is no such a thing. Bhagavad Gita means the science of the soul and trying to understand who we are. That and all the other things are that of the Vedas and so on, and that helps us to develop an inner attitude so that we can realize that that's the meaning of that to assist us to realize who we really are. That's the purpose of the Vedas, is to understand Krishna. If we understand Krishna, we can understand ourselves and our nature. If we understand Krishna's nature, we can understand our nature, because we are of the same quality. But we are part and parcels in a minute part, but we are the same higher nature. Material nature is inferior nature, and we are belonging to the spiritual nature, but we are identifying with the inferior nature. And then you come in Arjuna's position, that you say, I want to enjoy, but what's the purpose of all this enjoyment at the end? You get the opposite at the end, you die. So why should I do it? And then mental depression comes. That's an important cause of, well, everyone in this world has that in some way or another. There is not that, there is this class is depressed and those are not. Everyone has that to a certain extent. But the more we identify with it, then that, therefore, the way to get out of it, to wake up from it, is Vaidhi Sadhana Bhakti, which is explained in Nectar of Devotion in detail, following regulations to develop a desire to attain Krishna. That because it starts all for us to with desire. Arjuna does not lose his desire for enjoyment. Yeah, of course, he's under Yoga Maya. But we have to give up this desire to enjoyment, for enjoyment of the body, of the machine. How it's today Srila Prabhupada explaining that like you have a car, and the car, you need petrol. What's the petrol in the body? It's the soul, it's we. If the soul goes, then no petrol anymore, will not run, it dies. The car will not run, finished. But it looks like simple philosophy, but we have really to realize it, to come to the point of living in that concept of reality, because that's what we call the real that what we perceive through the senses, through material nature, it's not the real. It's not that's not reality, but it's a temporary reality, and what's real is eternal, and the soul is eternal, and we are eternal. But this world is just a temporary, it's temporary, and taking the temporary as eternal, that's called illusion. And that's the cause of our suffering. So that's a very important lesson to learn here, that this mental problems of Arjuna, reflecting that all the mental problems of anxiety of people in this world, the more you are identifying with this body, the more we are suffering. And our modern education is really going in the direction of making sure everyone is good in the body concept of life, and modern education makes it stronger and stronger. Therefore, Srila Prabhupada said this modern education are slaughterhouses of consciousness. That's a That's a very serious thing. That therefore our children should be educated in Krishna consciousness from a young age. That Srila Prabhupada planted gurukuls everywhere. That this education. That's brahmachari, brahmacharini from a young age. So important. That because if you don't have a brahmachari training, then your life is your because in those who are going to the gurukul, these young boys and girls, and then when they come to sexual maturity, they are not entrapped like Maya, like the ordinary. They have learned to control their senses. They know the dangers that and they know what Krishna says, the consequence of lust. Lust makes us more and more identify with this body. So it's just we come out of it by the mercy of the spiritual master and the devotees, by associating with those who are above it, that we have learned to control their senses. That, anyway, it's a great science.